to have those days. And I guess to relate with people, we have to really tell what happens in our own lives. And then, of course, how the grace of God is able to take you through. It's always sufficient. But so much of the preaching has been, and I think I have to minister on it during this Promise Time tapes. And it's all been all faith and all prosperity and no sickness and fly here and there. It's always gaining knowledge, knowing all the time, gaining knowledge. And people, for the most part, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been left out. Now even we're getting into politics. But also, we said, people must learn to seek and to know God for themselves. Oh, I might be able to plant a few seeds here today. You listening on the radio, you might grab something out of this message, but it will be the Holy Spirit and the unction of the Holy Spirit that will bring it alive to you personally. But are you listening? You must come to listen. You must turn your radio on to listen, or the tape. Turn that tape on, no matter what part of the world you may be hearing this. Are you listening? And so, people, you must learn to seek and to know God for yourselves. And this takes ears. Spiritual ears. Those two funny-looking things growing on the side of our head with bone and skin, little holes in them, our ears. And so again today I ask, are you listening? Matthew 13 and 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And in this age, it's so important that we listen. There's so many voices out there. Even in the Church of Jesus Christ, now we're raising up someone to become president. Don't get excited about all these things. I think we're in the throes of prophecy being fulfilled, and God is having His own way even now. Congress is finding that out. Bitter people are finding that out. God is having His own way. So don't be excited when things start to form, but listen. Listen, Bible prophecy is being fulfilled right now. It's so important that we minister the gospel message. People are ready. They're waiting with bated breath for things to happen. Now people are waiting on Superman 4. Someone flying around with chains on their bodies to hold them up. And why is that? Because the gospel message is not preached anymore, hardly. But this parable is called then the parable of the sower. But actually, you see here, Jesus is not putting the emphasis so much on the sower or upon the seed. Of course, these are important. But His whole total emphasis is on the different kinds of soil upon which then the seeds do fall. All the soil of the field was not alike. Don was talking about, he couldn't even grow a dandelion a couple days ago, because the ground was so hard, don't you see? And now there are weeds and thistles all over. They were growing all that time during that heat. And so we have the rocky soil and the thorny soil and some good soil. And so naturally, all did not yield the same harvest. But you see, the difference in the yield was not the fault of the sower nor the seed, but of the reception given by the soil, how you receive it to yourself. What attitude you have to receive it. If you have a hard attitude, it's hard to get in. If you've been softened up by conditions and humbled, well, then it's going to get in a little bit easier. If there's been a plowing going on in your life, and you've been plowed up, and that's another message, you're going to be opened up to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the Word, and even Christians can hear this Word today, although it's meant mostly for the people outside of the Lord. So there are all kinds of soil. Now, we're planting in areas down here where it isn't always readily received because people are hard. Hard because of the dry condition. Hard because of the years of overlooking. No response from, let's call it, the outside world. Down here in this particular area, it's almost like I have to call out to the outside world. You have to radio out to suburbia. And there is a lack of tending of the soil. And so we have a hard soil down here. But you see, our privilege is to sow, not to worry over the conditions. The Word will never go out void, spent, fall to the ground, but do exactly what God intends it to do. Always. It is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is powerful, folks. Thus, Jesus seeks to bring to our minds and hearts the vast importance of the right kind of hearing. My mother used to ask me when I sat there with this faraway stare whilst she was talking to me, "Are you hearing anything that I have said?" And then after I got in all of my troubles, it appeared that I wasn't listening. No, it's the right kind of hearing. However great the preacher, however full of truth that his message is, it will all end in failure, don't you see? Unless there is a right response by the one who hears. And so we have to come expecting to hear something especially for ourselves. Might even involve getting convicted a little bit. We don't want to get... Isn't that awful to be convicted, though? Sometimes something just pierces right into your heart. Oh, that's a terrible feeling. But praise God, that means God is working with you. When you don't have that awakening in your spirit, then start to worry. Then start to shake. Then, I mean, we really have to seek God when we're so hard of hearing. And so he warns, I believe, with a very hot heart, take heed how you hear. And we teach people who don't yet know how to listen in our schools. I think there should be a school before a school on how to listen. Because kids have become cartoon freaks. I think we should, I said, have a school, a listening school, before we have a teaching school, a teaching how to listen school, so we can listen to what's being taught. Otherwise, we're wasting time. We need to become apt at hearing. We need to be apt at listening. Are you listening, radio audience? You on that tape. What are people saying when they get angry? What are they really saying? What are people saying, mothers and fathers are saying, young people, when they're frustrated and they bark out? What are they really saying? I need help. I need love. I need someone to care. I need someone to look past my flesh. See no man after the flesh. I need someone, for God's sake, I need someone to see past my anger. Sometimes we even have sort of a hidden anger. And so we, I believe, must show people how to find the secret place of the Most High God. A place where if they listen and be still, they will know God. Pray that way. Pray that, Lord, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to listen. Now, don't get weird and just sit in a darkened room and pull the shades. But spend a little time in meditating every day. And before you go out there, expect that the Lord will speak through people. Maybe it'll come through a drunk or a prostitute. Maybe it'll come through a dog or a sign or something. But be expecting. Be seeking. Lord, I want some kind of a, not that we go for signs, but I'm talking about in seeking the Lord. Lord, show me something. And don't get weird about it either. Don't, if he shows you something to do, some kind of work. Oh, what a dirty word that is. Oh, that's not of God, that's the devil, people say. Yeah, a place where if they would listen and be still, they will know God. What a wonderful thing to know God when you're in trouble. Now, you don't have to be anxious, because the desire to seek God is only God's desire in us. Don't get anxious about, oh, I got to seek God. I got to seek Him. Let's see. Let me really concentrate now. Let me really concentrate. It's not that at all. See, it's God in us, and everybody, their whole makeup, whether they're born again or not, has God attitudes in them. And it's that God desire in these people that gets God desiring them. God even puts a desire in you, so you don't have to get anxious about it and feel like you're really doing something. Oh, I'm just going to see God. God, where are you? Woo-hoo, huh? No. No, let it happen naturally. And it will. It'll just happen. All of a sudden, you're going to feel the presence of the Lord, and things will start to work out in your life because God has put that attitude of desire in you, and you don't even know where it should come from until you know God. Then you know. It's nothing that you have to teach yourself into. But I do believe it's something for the preacher to relate to people and tell them that God is with you, no matter what. Yeah, well, I just committed murder. I hear someone in Stillwater Prison. It doesn't matter. God is with you. And I'm not saying it doesn't matter and go ahead and kill somebody else. I'm saying that it doesn't matter as far as you seeking the Lord. I see, you have to watch what you say. No man can come to me, the Word says, except the Father that sent me draw him. John 6 and 44. That's why it is so important not to judge people. They all belong to God. Now, you just plant the seed. You just put the word out there, preacher. God will cause the increase. And so the Father in us desires to reveal us the secret of His presence. He is all over, folks. And in the throes of this very end age, and oh, we are so close to the end of the world. You can taste it. You can smell it. The Kuwaitis can hardly wait. What a name, Kuwaiti? Do you waity, Kuwaiti? Right now, we're bristling. But it's Bible prophecy. Have you read your Bibles? You can turn the TV on and see the Bible prophecies being fulfilled by the second. It is so exciting if you have ears to hear. And so let us then stop striving to know God and simply be still and allow our soil to receive. We must learn, I believe, only to let our soil receive. Know that once and forever, God is seeking you. God is seeking you right now. No matter what your problem, no matter what your condition, God is seeking you right now. And I believe His seed, for the most part, by the gospel preachers, I'm talking about it as being thrown by His sowers, is seeking you. The word that we speak here today, containing the gospel message, the words of Jesus Christ Himself, will go out and will do a work. And they are looking for a place in your heart's field to grow. Bible says He turns the lost, stony heart into a grace field. For His word to grow in, He'll soften you. Love will soften you. There a song like that, Love Lifted Me? Oh, if you'll only hear this message today. Whew. Worry about the rain or the dandelions or the different people you don't see. Don't get caught up in that because God is in charge. Isn't that nice to know? Right now in this terrible, horrendous time in our history. Really not really that terrible either, because it's just God having His own way. He always does. But anyway, after all of our beating about the bush, seeking here and there for our heart's desire, we must all come to Him for the fulfillment of every desire. You can go all over. You can go to the east. You can go to the west. Someday you'll come, weary at heart, back where you started from. That's where it's at. And where did you come from? You came from God. And you're all going to go right back to God. All that beating about the bush, all that running to the east and running to the west, someday you'll find. Weary at heart, you're going to come stumbling back to the One that created you. God is calling him in from all over. And it says in the end, He'll raise up the low, base, perverted things of this world to confound the wise. You're seeing one of those standing before you right now. Come out of the drunk tanks and jail, Talking about myself. Went into business, became successful, and yet all that beating about the bush brought me to come to know God. That's where it's at, folks. You ain't going to find it nowhere else. And I use incorrect English because people listen when you do it. All the English teachers perk up their ears. Oh, goodness, what's terrible grammar? Woo! I'll get to you mathematicians a little bit later on. And so I said, we like soil must wait, each one for himself. Each has a little plot. The Bible says each one has their own lot. Each one has their own little lot, vacant lot, in life. Hallelujah. Each one, are you here in this radio audience? Each one for himself, wait upon God for this inner revelation of our own oneness with him. Prepare your grace field daily. And a lot of times we think, well, I'm sure glad so-and-so is here today because they'll hear that message. No, the message, don't pass it on out the door. Don't say, I wish Agnes was here today. The message is for you. The message is for me. The message is for everybody with ears. Oh, this guy is some kind of a nut anyway. I'm not going to listen. Doesn't matter. God chose me to come down here. Hey, there'll be nobody else. No, hardly very many preachers will come down into this area. Take some kind of a nut to do it, folks. You don't see too many others, do you? Well, I happen to like it. I happen to love it because I heard from God to come here. I was listening. Well, it took me quite a while. I stayed out in suburbia and ran all over the place evangelizing, and I knew that wasn't what I was supposed to do. Oh, it was fruitful. But I knew I was supposed to be involved with the down and out. So here I am. Well, that's what you get for listening. Okay. And times you listen and your flesh doesn't like what it hears. But we don't walk after the flesh, do we? We walk after the Spirit. Yeah, each one for himself. Listen. Because you see, the light we want is given by God. Do you want light? God does not, I should say, not give us life or love as a thing, because see, God is life and light and love. He is that. So he gives himself to you. That's why Jesus Christ came. He gave you light. I am the light. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the door. I am love. I'll give you myself. He doesn't give you a portion. All of me. Why not take all of me? There's a song like that. Do you know that song? Dear, do you know that song? Oh, yeah, yeah. What's your name? Via? Oh, okay. All of me. Now, do you know that song? Why not take all of me? Take my heart, because I want to lose it. That's Jesus. And so many of those songs that are sung are scriptural. No, don't take a portion, take all of me. I'll give you my life. And this is what we all want, no matter what other name we may give it. Like soil, we must learn to receive. Wait in silence. The Bible says, wait in silence for God only in Psalm 62 and 5. Noise belongs to the world. Honk, honk, beep, beep. And in San Francisco right now, you beep too loud and they'll shoot you. They're having an outbreak. Did you see that on TV? Where the cars are driving up and someone races around, gets past him on the ramp. And the guy pulls out a gun and bam, he shoots him. Well, I know I'm kind of weird. You'll get used to me. And another guy passes on the shoulder and another guy shoots. Bang, huh? No, noise belongs to the world. Aren't we noisy on our way up the ladder? Kicking somebody in the head when we're going up that ladder. I was in that business ladder. Oh, excuse me. Grind your heel into somebody's face when they're trying to make it up. Boy, do they make a lot of noise. When they fall down from that jack in the beanstalk, going after their gold. Now, we have to learn how to be quiet. It's a study to be quiet. Isn't that hard to do? Even our mind is noisy. You ever have a noisy mind? How many of you know what I mean by a noisy mind? This won't shut up. The melee of the day. I mean, this mind here is going all the time. Your minds are going all the time. And they're noisy a lot of times. But silence belongs to God. And so let's ready our soil to receive. They that wait upon Jehovah shall renew their strength in Isaiah 40 and 31. Let's pray then to wait, be silent, to see if God has anything to say. But today, don't strain yourself to hear. Pray, say in Jesus' name, I will hear. And so we have Jesus here facing a very vast audience on the seashore. And he saw four kinds of hearers. And it's possible that I may be ministering today to the very same four groups that face Jesus right here or listening on the radio. It's possible that we have the same groups. Let's look at them. Let's use the word therefore, that we may better look at ourselves. I don't always like what I see when I look at myself. In the physical, I'd like to have a little more hair. I'd like to see these trunks disappear underneath my eyes. I'm not going anyplace. But just kidding, all kidding aside, I don't like a lot of times what I see on the inside. I get angry and I get upset. I think there were those present that distance day on whom message was utterly waste. He was speaking and it was a waste of time to speak. You ever talk to somebody and you can see you're wasting your time? They aren't hearing a word you're saying? Did you ever wonder that about your kids, parents? Did you ever think, oh, this is a waste of time talking to this kid? Did you ever thought that about yourself? They may have heard it with their minds wandering, fruitlessly all over the place. I remember I used to minister to young people, and their minds would only hold, you could only hold their attention for a little while. All of a sudden, their eyes would go. They'd be looking over at some knothole on a board up there, or something, anything but listen. Or they'd be picking at their shoe. And so you had to teach people to listen. The church was so crowded in the suburbs that when one crossed her leg, the whole aisle had to cross her leg. And people would be sweating, and the mosquitoes were there once in a while and flying. And I said, no fans in here, no excess beating of your arms. And we had to do that just to discipline people. Otherwise, here's what you'd hear. Boy, aren't these mosquitoes bad in here? Give me your fan. I mean, who would hear anything? Boy, when you're in a foxhole and the enemy's out there, the mosquitoes can bite you all over. You aren't going to say one word. You are listening. You hear every cricket, every blade of grass, every little shh. When your life is involved, you are listening. Folks, listening on the radio, if you're not born again and you're hearing this message, you're in a foxhole. Listen. Because the enemy, just like in that foxhole, is waiting for you. Drugs, alcohol, all those things of the world, they're waiting for you. And so they may have heard the message, but their mind is wandering aimlessly back and forth and all over, but certainly it's not in church. And then again, they may heard it with a critical spirit. And then at the end of this service, they swagger off saying, nonsense. Well, I never. The guy was too fanatical. That's what they called Jesus. I knew all that. I don't have to be told any of that. You know, we can get so critical and so mean and so hard, we don't want to listen to nobody. I'm going to get that way once in a while. I sure do. Don't you tell me. They may have even listened with real enjoyment. And nodded approval at every statement. Amen. Preach it, brother. Right on. Give it to him. Wow. And yet heard very little. I've been around people that say amen every other word. I have to tell some of them to shut up. I went, amen. Downtown, amen. And then I went to my car. Amen. I said, brother, let me get a whole sentence out first. Because, see, everybody's waiting for this person to say amen again. And they're counting. 49 amens. One paragraph. Must be a record. That's how our minds work. Well, I know, because that's what I do. I count them. I say, you're up to 50. That's enough. Now shut up for the rest of the service. But better yet, stay outside the church and say amen 100 times before you come in. Amen, 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 amen. Stir them up. Get them out of your system. Or maybe they heard the message by proxy, thinking, oh, if only so-and-so was here, this message is so just for them. Oh, I wish you, oh, she, I know she's laying in bed. Isn't that the devil? She's probably fixing kids' breakfast right now and slopping up the kitchen floor, and she's not there either, see. And her husband is probably snoring away. Maybe her husband's sitting next and he breaks into her thoughts. Wasn't that a good service? Tailor-made for us. Who? What? Where am I? See, the devil kept her away. Not if you're not all here, you're not all there. I have to motion all over. I'm not picking on anybody up the balcony over here. I gesture. See, the devil kept her away just as well as the woman that was home slopping up the kitchen floor. Wandering around in a fog with a dirty old house coat on and no slippers. Get the picture? She didn't hear herself. We can get so locked in on people, they really should have been here to hear this message. We don't hear it ourselves. And so the woman left the service. And after it was over, she went away unchanged, unchallenged, unconvicted, uncaring, unloving, unfaithful, unexcited, unexpecting, unjoyful, unfruitful, and why? Unhearing. Unhearing can do all that to you. You leave unchanged, unchallenged, unconvicted, uncaring, unloving, unfaithful, unexcited, unexpecting, unjoyful, unfruitful, and why, I said? Because you're not hearing. And don't ask me to do that again. I don't care to. Are you hearing this message today? Oh, God, I hope you hear it. Don't get wrapped up in how nutty I am. Unhearing undoes all God wants us to have. And so off they went. They took up their drab lives once more. But imagine, God was speaking to them. They leave unmoved, bored. You're all around somebody that's bored. I'm bored. Aren't boring people boring? Do you get it? I mean, they're always bored. Maybe you give them everything and they're still bored. Maybe you give them a room and they're bored, so they have room and board. Maybe you do everything for them that you can possibly do and they're still bored. Leave me alone, I'm having a mood. Have one, have at it, but get out of here. No more room and board here. Out you go without special notice, immediately if not sooner. Right? That's the way I feel about it. And that bored person infects everybody in the house as they're walking around bored. Great big old liver lips hanging out. Abused. One way to get those liver lips to slap back in their face is give them a good swift kick in the seat of the pants. Set it and I'm glad. Sometimes that's what folks need, is a kick in the pants. Oh, I heard a lot of amens out there from a lot of moms and dads. A lot of wives and a lot of husbands, people in general. Unwon for Christ because they didn't listen. Just like they had been listening to their mom or dad. Well, I mean, almost everybody goes through that when they don't listen to their parents. They're too old-fashioned. Well, here I'm standing, and I suppose I'm old-fashioned. That reminds me of a song. Isn't there a song like that? I'm old-fashioned. La-da-da-da-da. Yeah, there is. Well, I'm old-fashioned. I like the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's always brand new. But why did they fail to respond? I think for one reason. Their hearts were hard, and they allowed themselves to become like the wayside soil, the ones where they walk in a path, and they keep walking over the same path all the time till they get hard. And it gets hard. You couldn't chop it with an axe. It's hard. You can't get the seed in there. It's just hard as a rock. Huh? And we got all those excuses. I had all those excuses for 39 and a half years. I was a boozer. At first, I just took it for medicinal purposes. And after all, there was a man I seen in the paper, lived to be 190, he drank a quart a day. But see, he didn't live either. He existed. He was a walking toilet bowl walking around, but he existed. But I had all those excuses for doing my thing. So you get hard in it. Harder and harder and harder. And that was just that one beer, you know, that started you out. Oh, what's wrong with a beer? I mean, you know. Look, it's 97 degrees out, and they show that on TV with the water running down its sides and everything like that. What do you expect out of a guy? How about a Pepsi Cola? How about a Gatorade? You know why Gatorade quenches people's thirst? Because they give it to you in a whole gallon with a little knob on top. That'd quench anybody's thirst. But anyway, point being, you don't have to have it. And I know that'll fall on deaf ears too, you listening on the radio. Gatorade. Whew. That's for jocks and people like that. I'm not going to get into that. No, only one thing was wrong. It was so hard, the seed sown on it had no chance. It simply laid on the surface until the birds came, the Bible says, and ate it. And that's what's wrong with the unresponsive hearers. Their hearts had been grown hard, and therefore he locks up his heart's door to Christ Jesus and his knock. And he goes, the Bible says, his own way. But I believe this. Do you believe it? Is the soil to blame because it's hard? Maybe that's a question you're asking right now. Maybe the conditions made it that way. Hard times. I mean, after all, maybe your congregation did a mass exodus. Are you hard-hearted now on account of it? Well, then you'll be just like the folks that left, hard-hearted. No, that's what's wrong. We become so hard of hearing, we don't hear anymore. Sometimes as parents, we don't hear. And the children got their little problems. Hey, there's traumas in a three-year-old's life. He's got to go out to the fucking bullies out there, and he has to go out in the sandbox. Oh, man, I'm going to go out there if it kills me, and it will. And he has to go out there and get in the sandbox, and there's the big bully. Oh, he looks, he's smiling. He's smiling, but he's lifting a great big bucket of sand. Here we go. What makes us think that little ones, oh, I wish I was young again. Oh, those are some of the worst years in my life. I was always being chased home. People with rocks were hitting me with rocks. Lived in a little town. They didn't have any minority groups to speak of. Well, they had Greeks. We were the minorities. Man, oh, you greasy Greek. Well, my dad says I shouldn't go out with you, you know, and all this stuff like that, throwing stones at you. Then you'd get to thinking, well, being a Greek must be a curse. But I had experiences like that. Traumas in my life, like the first time I went to a three-cornered mirror and saw that my nose was like Pinocchio's. Who's that? Is that me? My God. Are you hearing this today? Are you hearing it? Are you hearing it? How many hearing it? Hey, lay down those Frito-Lays and that Pepsi, you listening on the radio. I want you to hear this. Boy, I bet that stopped one of the snappers right then and there. No, it simply laid on the surface and a bird ate it. And so he was for the birds. Whew. Yeah, people have been walking all over my old heart. Mothers say that once in a while, and dads, God, this is the thanks I get for raising all them kids up. This is my fate. Maybe you're in a nursing home right now, and no one comes to see you. Well, that could make you hard. I pray I never have to go to one of those places. Are you listening and you have a fear of going to a nursing home? I don't blame you. I refuse to go. In the name of Jesus, I'm not going to go. I'll crawl up into the Rocky Mountains and die up there first. Hey, take me up there and fly me over and I'll jump out and a care drop me. What a terrible place to go. And so we have things. We get hard in our own hearts. Well, I wonder what's going to happen to me now. We get all wrapped up with the present day. Well, what's going to happen to me next? Huh? Or maybe you're worrying about your hairline while I'm preaching. Or your clothes, or your what? And so I said, that's what's wrong with the unresponsive here. I used to listen when the word was preached, someone told me, and get excited when the cross I'd reach, but now, heartaches, that's all I ever get is heartaches. I mean, the question being, are these people to blame? Is the soil to blame because it's hard? Yes. If the soil happens to be the human heart. But wait a minute. I read in the Bible just the other day, I hear a Frito-Lay snapper saying on the radio right now, God hardened the heart of the Pharaoh. Yeah, that's true, he did. But remember that the heart of the Pharaoh was not hardened because God did not love him. His heart was not hardened because God didn't give him a chance. God didn't set out to work a tragedy in his life because he was sinful, because he was so rich, because he was so prideful, because he ate too loud or laughed too much. And by the way, aren't you glad that God doesn't judge the way people do? Why, hell would have a waiting list. I mean, people tell people to go there at the very slightest provocation. No, Pharaoh's heart was hardened by the very abundance of opportunities that were his. Wasn't hardened by his deeds so much. as his persistent refusal to walk in the light as he was given to see the light. We all receive light. And the more light we receive, the more we see, and the more we see, the more we are held accountable. Now, I'm held accountable for a lot more than when I first came down here because I've seen so much. I've seen the suffering, and I've seen the uneducated, and I've seen the migration, let's say, of people coming up from the south, and I've seen so much that 8 years ago when I first came upon this area, I wasn't aware of. Now I'm aware of all that, and so much aware of all that, that now I'm being held accountable for more. It won't be as easy for me to pick up and wade out. I mean, folks, preachers, you get in deep water in your ministries where you have to, having done all, stand. And now you're out in deep water and you have to trust in the Lord. Are you hearing me, preachers? It's not easy. You are held accountable for the light you receive. And now I'm seeing more and more and more all the time. And it seems like there is abundance of light coming my way and my eyes have been opened. And my ears have been opened, and I'm hearing. Now, this wonderful gospel of ours will make our hearts very tender if we will allow it to. Or, on the other hand, it'll make it very hard. So hard that the very tenderest appeal from the most anointed of preachers will leave us unmoved, unchanged, not wanting to change, bored. Oh my God, when is this guy going to get done? I hear somebody on the radio. Well, lock all the doors and windows, you only got 2 hours left. I'm just kidding. And so this then is the way of the legalist who has not received the promise, the free gift. He is so hard and so cold to sinners, just like the Pharisees were. Or the Pharaoh was to God's people. Wow. See, sometimes the hardening process is a result of a definite crisis in your life. It goes back to a particular hour in which we lose some spiritual battle. I'm sure each one of us can relate to some traumatic experience that happened in our lives. I hear certain songs, and it'll take me right back to certain times in my life that were hard, mind-bending. I almost went crazy in some of them. Totally, I think I was walking around for a good number of my years, totally insane. Are you looking for insane people? You don't have to go to the ward. They're right outside. It's insanity out. This is the biggest ward that ever was. The world is insane. And the moment we don't trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is sure insanity. How many of you have those particular times in your life you can just think back and say, oh God, that was a crusher for me. All the time I meet people that come from Christian homes who are totally indifferent to the appeal of the gospel. And upon asking them about their spiritual history, most times they'll say something like this. I stood at the forks in the road one time and heard definitely the call of God to do a certain and go a certain direction. And so they knew God's voice. But instead of obeying it, they deliberately took another road. And their light, the Bible says, would turn to darkness. Oh, how many do that for the love of the world and for their habits. And then we have some that love the world 50% and God 50%. No, you can't mix the two. You see, light dispels the darkness at night when you turn on your light in your bedroom. Does it gradually push the light out? You turn the light on and just gradually, no, it dispels it like that. The moment that you're willing to turn on the light, flip, and turn it on, that will dispel the darkness in your life. It might be a rude awakening. Isn't that rude when you're sleeping and someone comes in and turns on the light? Ooh, turn that light off. Or maybe you're in a bar. Well, isn't it funny when people are in a bar and the light goes on, they all know they got to leave. What are they doing in there anyway? Hiding, most times. And sometimes they get a little help. Okay, everybody out, lights on. They're walking around, they can't even see. Or maybe they do see the person they're with them. Ooh, let me out of here. The light reveals a lot of monsters in your life. No, when you turn the light on, there's no darkness. Everything is revealed. But if you harden your heart and you seek those dark corners, and that's why it says, don't hide your light under a bushel basket. And don't lay it off in a corner, because then you're living in sort of a shadowy experience. Put it right up there. And did you ever notice now they don't have ceiling lights anymore? Put it right up there. But let your light shine. A city set on a hill, let that light so shine before men, the Bible says. Do you remember the story about Felix? I'm not talking about Felix the cat. Paul had preached to Felix, and it says that Felix was mightily stirred, shaking, quaking, shaking. The Word of God had him shaking, see, just like this. His legs were quivering, and you could hear his knees knocking, and teeth chattering. But he ended by saying, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call upon thee. And he called again and again, but it didn't have the same effect, because he didn't come to listen the first time, and then the second time he wasn't going to hear it, and the third time he wasn't going to hear it, and he never would hear it. See, more often, hardness is a result of a very long process of conscious disobedience, when we're conscious of it. If we hear the truth and we persistently refuse to put it into practice, a hardening process sits in. We become callous. We become gospel hardened. We then become legal, or look for another way in, or we try to patch old garments with new cloth, and they tear away, and the scene is worse than the first. And so it is, if we refuse to see the grace of God, then we start to say, I can't see it. I can't see why drinking is bad, and I don't see why smoking dope is bad. I mean, after all, God grew dope. I mean, didn't he grow weed? It's growing there. He grew that tree, too. You're going to try to stick that in your face? Huh? No, I understood. I know this was, when I first started, I said, you know what? They're going to find out that marijuana is very dangerous. That it has, it will change your disposition and your thinking and everything. Down the line, it's going to affect your children and grandchildren. And now they're finding that. Yeah, now they're finding that even smoking. What happens in those cases? Your light goes out. It says, your eyes went out. The candle is in your eye. You ever seen somebody that's lost the light in their eye? Their eyes don't light up anymore, and they've lost that drive. I hope I don't lose my drive. My dad was 87 years old when he died, and he still had his drive. He was still looking for a corner to go into business. Well, this looked like a nice corner here. It's okay, a lot of traffic, but it's going by. It goes 60 miles an hour, no good. Still looking for... And I used to love to sit with him and go out with him. I'd say, Dad, what do you think of this corner here? Now, I wasn't going to go into business with him because I was preaching. What do you think of this corner here now? Let's just sit here and look at this corner. And we'd visualize putting a cafe in there and doing this and that and so on like that. And we were going to have all stainless steel back bar and do all those things like that. But see, he still had that drive and he still had that pizzazz and he still had that go. And the light and the candle in his eye was still going. Don't lose that, folks. Don't lose that. You can go ahead, dream a little bit. You listening, and I'll close it up. Don't harden your hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we have those that heard, but they had a quick and ready response to the appeal of Jesus. They could hardly wait for the sermon to be over so they could dash forward and throw their cigarettes on the stage and jump on them. Whoa! You ever been in any of those meetings? Where they take all their cigarettes and they say, okay, throw all your cigarettes on the stage and all your bottles. We better have a shield up there. And they get up there, do it in faith, and they throw all their junk up there. And usually someone's forcing them. All right, sonny, you heard him. It's the Lord speaking. Throw your cigarettes and your dope up there. And the kid says, okay, he tucks half of it in his sock. All right, here it goes. No, it doesn't work. The person has to hear for themselves. My mother preached to me for years, and my father preached to me for years, waited outside of bars for me to come out of the bar. But still, I can remember now what she had to say. It all made sense. But I didn't want to hear. They were so full of eagerness, these people. They ran up to the stage. Hooray! We quit everything! Oh, they were so enthusiastic. Hooray! Hooray! Oh, oh, they didn't know what to do with themselves. Oh, they pinched themselves. They ran all over. Oh, 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 wow! Didn't mean a thing. Emotionalism. They were full of enthusiasm. That's not all bad. But in the end, they proved a disappointment not only to the Lord, but to themselves. Then they had to get on a guilt trip. They had to go hiding. And they went over and they hid and burnt up their shirts. And they got guilty. Then they got hard. Then they come out from their hiding place. And it walked around like Humphrey Bogart, you know. Or Cagney. Nobody tells me what to do. And this is all because they were shallow and superficial. They sought to live in the realm of emotions instead of the realm of their convictions. They listened to the voice, let's say, of inclination rather than to the voice of duty. And they were always, it seems, asking themselves what they felt like instead of doing what they ought to do regardless of their feeling. Oh, there's some days I don't feel like coming down here. I don't feel like it. But I do. And every time I go against my feelings, it works out. And I think, well, look what I would have missed if I would have went by my feelings. Feelings. Feelings like I never had before. Oh, feelings. Huh? Don't go by your feelings. Go by the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Move by the Word of God. And something will happen as you dare to believe God. Do you dare to believe God? You'll get off of those things, off of the booze and the drugs, if you dare to believe God, one step at a time, dear Jesus, one step, one day at a time. See, I believe their trouble was is they were as quick to quit as they were to start. Ever have somebody like that there? Well, Pastor Paul, what have we got to do today? Okay. Oh, wow. We got a whole truckload of potatoes, huh? Hey, that would be good exercise for me. 40,000 pounds, nothing to it. Oh, let's go. Okay, look, how does this work now? Oh, the cars come by here, and they go right on by here, and you just pick up this 100 pounds of potatoes, and they open their trunks, and you just flip them in. There's nothing to it. And after about 10 bags, oh, man, I wonder if those people really appreciate. Do you hear what that one woman said to me not to throw it so hard in her trunk? Oh, I don't know. I don't think I like this very well. And so they go by their feelings because they want to go by their feelings and they don't want to put them potatoes in there and they got something better to do anyway. We went through 1,300,000 pounds of just potatoes in this mission last year. And I helped load up a lot of those cars. A lot of those cars. But I'm going to tell you, there was a lot of heavy breathing, fast starting, quick stopping people that came along my way. Didn't have the hang in. Didn't have the hang on. What did I do with my glasses? Just didn't have it all together. Oh, here they are. Where am I? But I hear you saying, I'm locking it up here. I hear you say, this wasn't the sole cause of their failure. They had genuine difficulties in their way. Yeah, that's true, but their difficulties didn't have to prove to be fatal. They ought to have been, these difficulties should have made them stronger. It says in the Bible, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you're at your very weakest, the point of the very heavy-duty temptation, and you call on the Lord, that's when He can answer. When you totally know you can't do it by yourself, and you can't throw them up on the stage and step on them and throw them and flush them down the toilet and all these habits that you have, and you say, I cannot do it, my God, I cannot do it. I've tried and tried and tried, and you say, Lord, you're going to have to help me because I can't do it. I am a total failure. I am a sinner. You're open to God. He'll do it. Is the sun hostile to the heat? No. That seed that went out there, is that sun hostile to it? No. I mean, the same sun that brought death to the wheat, there was some wheat that needed the sun and it grew. Well, what was the difference? It had root. And when it got root, it bare fruit. So you got to take the word in here and let it drop into your heart. One more piece of scripture here. In the 12th chapter of Acts, we read that an angel of the Lord smote Peter, who was in prison and chains fell off from both of his hands and feet. But then at the end of the same chapter, we read an angel of the Lord smote Herod and that worms ate him up. In other words, the smiting brought life and freedom to one and rottenness and death to another. It's all in how they received it. So it is with the shallow hearer. It might have brought you greater strength if you heard this message today and you thought, well, hey, I can't do it by myself. Don't yield to your weaknesses. Give your weaknesses to the Lord. Do you remember when Jesus went to eat at a certain person's house? And Martha? was out in there rattling them pots and pans. Maybe that's where that song came. Get out of that kitchen, stop rattling them pots and pans. And so she was doing this work and it was beautiful, but she was complaining and she was arguing and she was banging these pots and pans. And that, she wanted to serve the Lord, but she made so much noise doing it. And here was Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, listening. You ever done that where you just blew it? How many in here, because of their own temperament, at times have blown things and ruined probably a very perfect day because you couldn't receive? See, instead of whistle while you work, she had bang, clatter, shout, yell, scream, kick the cat attitude. And she could have been out there. Oh, we're roasting leg of lamb. Oh, we're roasting leg of lamb. And pretty soon the people would have been sitting out there tapping on their hand. What's going on in the kitchen out there? They're so happy out there. Huh? Oh, Mary, excuse me right now, but I want to go out and see why this person is so happy. Why are they whistling while they're working? See, you don't gather a group by rattling them pots and pans and kicking the cat. You don't get the Lord's attention either. It's all in how you receive the work the Lord gives you, although we tend to blow it at times. I think it's important that we minister to one another. That we can be a Martha and we can have those attitudes of Jesus in serving. Have you heard this message today? So those are the kind of hearers that we have. Did you hear this today? Well, maybe you're hot right now. You say, my God, I thought this guy would never get done. I got my deodorant down in my socks. And he's such a crazy little guy. Well, it's like I said, you gotta be a hearer of the word. I'm sure for the most part you heard it here today. And some of the annex I go through is so that you will hear it. So hard to draw people's attention sometimes. So hard with young people, and I work with them all the time downstairs, so hard to get their attention. Sometimes you gotta yell, "Don't run!" When you get their attention and say, "Don't run, honey." Oh, okay. So they're left with that. They're not left. Don't run in this building! How many times do I have to tell you? They get enough of that at home. Don't make so much noise. Don't you know it's only 2 o'clock in the afternoon? There's a lot of moms all over Minneapolis asleep until 2 in the afternoon. And the baby's laying in that crib with sour milk all over its dirty, unwanted, fold-over T-shirt. Do they still make them dumb things where you got to fold them over and tie them? Huh? Well, whatever. And so they don't need to hear that. They need to hear, get their attention first, and then give them a don't. Do the same thing over again, but in lighter tones. And it's the same way when you preach. Sometimes you have to get people's attention with a, and after you get their attention, you tone it down. Amen? Now you can say amen. Amen. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior?